I'm going to start off by saying that I'm not going to say her name because this person thrives off of attention. And, you know, she basically, this person has been known to say, you know, the N-word, has issued fat phobic statements, has made generalized criticisms about Indian or Bangladeshi workers by saying that they shouldn't be working in our city area and leering at our girls. And she's also made some statements against the trans society.
What up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of NRI. I'm your host, Krishna Nara.
And I'm your host, Krish from Singapore.
All right, so today we are going to talk about something really interesting. We are going to talk about racism in Singapore because I think Krish Apurva has a very interesting story to tell us.
Oh, God. So first of all, I want to start off by saying Krish Nara from US made me do this.
Did you say that 5 minutes ago?
No, I just want to put this out there. First of all, I love Singapore. I appreciate the passport very much. My friends are Singaporeans. At least we don't get shot. Okay.
And at least I can say fuck you to the president, whether he is Donald Trump or Joe Biden.
Okay. All right. So... racism is becoming more apparent, and quite frankly, I'm scared. I am scared to talk about racism in Singapore because I see how there is a need to control speech to ensure a harmonious society.
Wait, what? Control speech?
Yes, in case you don't know anything about it, being an American, you do need some level of control, all right? Just ask your parents. We need discipline in our life, okay?
That sounds like the opening of an abusive relationship, but okay, go on.
Okay, but it just come to a stage where people are, you know, voicing out racist incidents, and there have been examples of people who have voiced out, who have openly stated how certain comments have been, you know, negative stereotypes of particular racial or religious groups, and yet the ones who are voicing out have been shunned. So I kind of wanted to spend some time on that and maybe, like, you know, talk a little bit about it. So, Krish, what do you want me to talk about?
Well, dude, I think you need to talk about some serious incidents that have happened in Singapore. I mean, I do remember reading some articles. Actually, you know what? I remember this one interesting article about this one lady, Sha Shui, like an influencer or something. Do you mind explaining that a bit for our viewers?
I'm going to start off by saying that I'm not going to say her name because this person thrives off of attention. And, you know, she basically, this person has been known to say, you know, the N-word, has issued fat phobic statements, has made generalized criticisms about Indian or Bangladeshi workers by saying that they shouldn't be working in our city area and leering at our girls. And she's also made some statements against the trans society. And there was one person who interestingly did thorough research on everything that she has said and has collated a document on it because she wanted to shed light on how this influencer was one of the most well-known, and she was a successful influencer, and she has made such, you know, negative stereotypical comments about particular groups of people who, you know, are a minority. And she got away with it. You know, she didn't say anything about it. And she collected this document and she basically spread it around her circle. And that became a big thing because customers, AKA literal, like, sense having human beings in Singapore, did start approaching the brands that she has worked with. And they started saying, like, you cannot be supporting this person who has said these things about, you know, these groups of people. And brands have cut some ties with this influencer. And she issued, like, basically what happened at the end of this was that the person who decided to share this news and created this document issued a sincere apology statement, and she regretted posting information about the influencer. The influencer did not get any consequences, and she does not regret her racist statements, and she does not regret her negative stereotypical statements, and she continues to be a successful influencer till today. And FYI, some of her statements, she's justified some of her statements by claiming that she has been harassed when she was younger by a couple of Indian / Bangladeshi workers in Singapore. So I want to give her benefit of the doubt because she is a human being, but all other statements that she said about Black people, about, you know, saying the N-word, the fat-phobic statements, the criticisms against, you know, even the trans society, what's the justification? You know, like, there's no justification for the things she said. So yeah, she's,
I mean, here's what I am thinking. Here's what I understood. Okay, so she says a bunch of offensive things and gets away without apologizing for them. And she thrives off attention. I think this is just a female Chinese Kanye West. I mean, I don't know about you, but that's kind of what she sounds like to me.
I mean, at least he has talent, you know? You know what I'm saying?
But okay, sure.
Yeah, perhaps. But yeah, like, you know what really pains me is the fact that she says that she does not regret her statements, not even one bit.
And Kanye West doesn't regret his statements either.
Girl, like, I don't know what it is about Kanye West, but he's, yeah. So that's one thing I've noticed that has happened in, you know, the past. And it's an observation that I think not just me, but, you know, a lot of people within the minority group have observed, like, how this person literally
What's scary is the fact that she says all these things and she still has an audience that adores her enough to watch her stuff. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Because if you really look at it at the end of the day, this is still capitalism functioning, right? And one thing about capitalism, which we often do forget, is that the consumer does hold the power. And if all her followers were to just drop her, all her brands would drop her, everybody would drop her. I bet even the government would probably even force her to apologize. Simply because this person has no influence anymore.
Yeah, but you see, the government didn't step in when she was, like, out there making these statements. So where were these people who were supposed to make society a safer place for minorities?
I mean, well, one thing we've learned in America is that the government is kind of useless, so.
Okay, I'm not saying anything. Don't even bring me to that. Don't. Okay, so this has been one observation. Now, you can read more about this through the links and, like, really understand what happened, but this is, like, basically a summary, all right? Now, let me go to example two, okay, where I want to talk about another incident that has happened some time ago, and there's something to consider here and very interesting point. So there was an ad run by a media agency under the government that showed a non-Indian man with a brown face and kurta to reflect an Indian. And that was, I think, you know, as an American, you understand how, you know, blackface is wrong, right?
So yeah, I mean, I don't think I have to explain. They even do brownface in, like, you know, old Hollywood movies and advertisements too. We have an Ashton Kutcher Pop Chips.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think I don't have to explain why brownface is wrong to the audience that are listening to us. But it was racist because it perpetuated a stereotype that, you know, Indians are just of one color and that our color was the only identity that they chose to depict rather than the million other positives we represent as Indians.
Wait, you know, so was this on every channel or was this?
It was on banners. It was, you know, on ads that they were trying to show. It was probably for a show. But you see, I was so enraged by just the poster itself that I didn't even bother what the show was about. It honestly, it was such a turnoff. And I think, you know, the fact that this was a government agency, that is what I was like, really, really? Not one intern came out and said, hey, you know, like, what are you guys doing? You know?
Wait, but don't they have enough Indian Singaporeans that they could have casted if they really wanted?
Oh, they're multiple. Yeah. That's the thing, right? And again, another thing was, yeah, okay, you're trying to show someone in a multiracial attire. I appreciate that. I think you should do that. It's fine. But why the brown face? Why is it that as Indians, our identity has been attached to our color when we represent so much more than that? We have such a beautiful culture. Our clothes are amazing. Our, you know, even from our makeup, traditional bridal makeup, that is absolutely stunning, you know? So many things.
I think it's just because, you know, when you get sunburn, you really want that melanin.
Yeah, but so because this was, you know, a problem amongst, you know, our race, a really brave Indian influencer decided to post a comedy satire rap saying F racist, insert majority race here, people, which became a huge topic.
Fuck racist Chinese people.
Don't say that, please. Please don't say that. Anyways, and this became a huge topic because the majority race was disturbed and troubled. So this got the attention of the media agency and the government, all right? And what they did was they brought her to the police station and they basically told her or ordered her to take down the video that she posted. And they told her to issue an apology statement. Now, by then, the media agency that did do the brown face, they did put out a half-hearted apology statement. But it was very half-hearted because it does not get down to the crux of the issue. And they don't acknowledge that this was fundamentally wrong. And it stemmed from, you know, negative stereotypes that we've been raised with here, like locally. And there was no, like, you know, indication of like how they're going to improve. There was no such thing, you know. So it was a very half-hearted apology statement by the media agency. So this Indian influencer who was told to issue an apology statement did apologize, but she did it in the exact way that the media agency did, which honestly, you know, like I have to say, balls of steel. I honestly.
Wait, what is her name? I feel like we should give her more fans.
See, that's the thing. I don't know if she wants to be known for this. She's known for so many other
things. Okay, well, things. I would love to subscribe to her, and I'm sure some of her viewers would. So.
Okay, fine. So her name is Preeti Please, P-R-E-E-T-I-P-L-S. So check her out.
P-R-E-E-T-I-P-L-S.
Yes. So she basically issued a satire apology statement, and the government was not happy with that. So she had to, you know, put out another statement where she was sincere with her apology. And basically, they made it look like that one girl who had the guts to openly talk about something that needs solving within the community was told to shut up. That's exactly what happened, fundamentally. You know? So here's the interesting thing, right? So this Indian influencer was told to put out like a sincere apology, and you have the previous example where the person continues to say, I do not regret my statements. So what is the message we're getting?
Oh, it's pretty obvious if you ask me. It kind of just sounds like, you know, if you are a Chinese Singaporean, you get a slap on the wrist, AKA if you are a white man in America. And if you are an Indian Singaporean, you get humiliated, AKA a person of color in America, presumably, preferably from a marginalized community.
Hey. At least we don't die, right? At least we don't get shot.
And at least I don't have to take a video down if I say fuck racist so-and-so people.
Yeah, so that has been some of the cases that has happened in the past. So we can talk about what is happening now that inspired us to sort of talk about this, right?
Sure.
So recently, a Ngee-Ann professor, Mr. Tan Boon Lee, was taped telling an Indian-looking man, quote, I've got nothing against you personally, but I think it's racist that the Indian prey on Chinese girl. All right?
Like, wait, he thought he was going to rape her or something?
Yeah, you see the terms that he has used. That was literally
like when Indian men prey on a Chinese girl.
Yeah, it's like Indians are somehow, you know, you can see like, you know, it showed how Indian men were seen. In this case, you can see how he has a view of Indian men that are predators, or like this term preying is a term that's used on animals, pedophiles. Look,
the only thing Indian men prey on are goddesses and gods. Literally at the puja, maybe elders' feet, because you know.
No, Indian men pray on prasadams. We need our prasadam. We will fight for our prasadam after praying. Okay.
Well, it depends on the prasadam. If it's kesari, yes. If it's just some raisins, like, nah, fuck that.
Hey. You do not disrespect.
I'll eat it. I'll, like, you know, but it's like, I'm not going to, like, no.
Do not disrespect the prasadam. Anyways, so the term prey is obviously used on animals, pedophiles, rapists, harassers. And that was absolutely disgusting to hear from me, you know. Reports are coming out saying that he has blatantly criticized Islam as well. So this person is a professor in one of the best polytechnics in Singapore, by the way. And now reports are saying that he has blatantly criticized Islam based on a student's experience. And that has been an ongoing case. So we'll see how that turns out. Hopefully he does get punished.
Wait, what subject does he teach as a professor?
God, I don't know that. I really don't know.
I mean, is it like a religious studies class or is it like a...
No, I really am not too sure of that. But the fact, you can be teaching religion for whatever it is, but there's no need to blatantly criticize. And he has...
No, the reason I'm asking is because, dude, imagine if he's not teaching, he's teaching a science or a math or just a language class, but he decides to waste class time just to berate Islam. How racist do you gotta be to go out of your way to do that?
Exactly. Let's just look it up. Why not? Okay, let me just look it up right now. We got
Tan. All right, guys, we are going to find out if Professor, what's his name again?
Tan Boon Lee.
We're going to find out if Professor Tan Boon Lee is
class
A level racist or a class C level racist.
All right, let's do it.
And what is the verdict?
I feel like nobody has written what he teaches so far. Let me see.
Wait, what about, isn't there, what do you, why don't you just go to the university website? He might still be there.
They've suspended him. Hold on.
Isn't he tenured?
Isn't he? I don't think he is. But I think, okay, one thing I appreciate is that if he really, like, I hope to appreciate sometime in the future is that even if he is tenured, like, he's not, you know, like, the government can still step in and be like, this person does not deserve to teach. Because imagine if you have been a student in this person's class and this person was like, oh, you're preying on a Chinese girl, I'm going to give you a D. Like, imagine how this can affect a child's life, having people like this.
Here's what I think. I think this is what I think probably happened. He probably had a really big crush on this one. And this might be a stretch. He might have had a crush on an Indian girl at one point. She turned him down. And he was just like, you know what? If I can't get an Indian, nobody can. And this is just what he's been doing.
Oh my God. Dude, I'm even trying to check like his LinkedIn.
Or he's just very well, you know, once you
okay,
go, it's like
dude,
what Hasan Minhaj
dude,
says,
dude.
Once you go brown, you gotta lock that shit down. And he's
hold
just,
on. He's an engineering lecturer. I'm so dead.
Guys, we got our verdict. He is a class A level racist. Yo, like imagine he's like in the middle of teaching thermodynamics and he's like, you know, this thermodynamics, it reminds me of the Quran. It's like, or it's probably like the answer to a math problem, an engineering problem is 5. God. He's like, yes, the number of times you pray a day, fucking da 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 da.
Yeah, oh my God, I can't believe this. He's an engineer. Yeah, you see, you really have to go out of your way for you to make Islam a topic of conversation in your class. Like, you can see how screwed up that is. But like, hold on, I got one more case that's gonna like seal the deal about Singapore. So it's another case where I have to commend the Indian man's patience. So he was seen praying and he was hitting the ganta. So we'll share the video.
The bell. Like, so for people who don't understand, when we do pujas, we have a bell that we ring mm-hmm. along with a plate that we offer to
fire.
God.
Yeah, or
it has like a fire. It's basically a candle type fire.
Camphor.
It's not so much.
It's called camphor.
Yeah, it's called a camphor, but it's like a candle type of fire.
Yeah.
For those who don't understand, I mean, most of our audience probably does. They're probably like, why are you explaining this to me like I'm a white person? But I get it.
Yeah.
In case you are a white person watching this, now you understand.
Yeah. So he was hitting a bell. So the spiritual thing about this is that, you know, you're trying to reinforce positive vibrations in the house. And like, you know, throw aside all the negative vibration outside of the house. So he was doing this at the front of his house. But right behind his neighbor, a Chinese woman, was seen blatantly disrespecting him by hitting her. She brought a gong out of the house. This woman's effort.
Yeah, sounds like she's preying on the Indian man.
Hold on.
Where is this professor now? Where is this professor now telling her not to prey on Chinese women, not to prey on Indian men?
Exactly. She was hitting her gong harder, faster, stronger. I don't know where this conversation is going. And some say that the Indian
If she keeps this up, she is going to get moksha in the next lifetime. Dude, what? Why? She's probably going to do this so hard that God's going to be like, you know what? I'm just going to place you into an Orthodox Hindu family. Get your sannyasi and come to moksha.
Yeah, just go to the straight level, go to God. You don't need the caste system for you. You know, we don't need to do that for you. She was hitting her gong so harder than him while he's trying to pray. And she was literally hitting it around him, right where he is. And it was so disgusting. I would honestly be enraged, if someone were to do that. As a country, again, that prides on being harmonious, where is this going? And, you know, some people say this has been happening for a long time. It's just that now people are coming out and talking about it. And I think that's true, unfortunately. So I have a relative who lives in, an HDB, and she uses a mixie. I think a lot of Indians would know what that does.
It's like a blender, a small blender.
Yeah. So we use these blenders to make our spices, right? And this lady was using her blender before she cooks. Her neighbors literally said she's not allowed to use the mixie, and they told her, and they gave her time slots to use her mixie. I'm not kidding.
Yo, I would use them specifically outside of those time slots just so my neighbors would understand how I feel about their time slots.
Yeah. So that's really the reality here. And bringing it back to something that's on a personal level, these are news, right? So bringing it back to personal level, I can tell you that I have felt ostracized. I've had these experiences of feeling ostracized since I was young. And I have been through a huge transformation in understanding relationships, interracial relationships, and understanding that there's a certain, I've done my research. So if you hit more than two Chinese people, there's almost a 90% shot that they'll probably speak in Chinese in front of you. If it's two people, it's actually optimal, by the way. Then they'll speak in English. This has been my research so far.
So you're saying that in Singapore, if you're talking to two Chinese people, they'll speak in English. But if there's a third Chinese person, and even though and the rest of the people below two, I guess, are not Chinese, they will speak in China, and they will speak in their native language, whether it's Mandarin or
If in a group, let's create a mathematical formula. If in a group N represents number of Chinese people, then if N is less than or equal to two, then English shall be spoken if there's an Indian in the group or a minority race in the group. If N is more than or equal to three, there is at least a 90% shot that they're probably going to revert to speaking in Chinese. And that has been my experience. So that has been my personal experience, by the way. I don't know if it relates to others, but it's something that I've noticed. And I've tried to be as understanding as I can. I've had anxiety attack when I was in Korea, and I had my Chinese friends, and it was just a bunch of people just speaking in Chinese all the way. And it was,
do you feel like it's just something they do because, I feel like even in our group, if it's other Indians, I remember in high school when I had a group of Indian friends, a lot of them would either speak the Hindi or Malayalam.
Yeah.
I didn't know either of those languages. And oftentimes they would just all speak in a group and I wouldn't get it. Actually, it could just be that, it could just be that you just naturally
I fully understand what you're saying. I fully understand that. And that this experience has honestly taught me to be different. It has taught me to be a lot more conscious of the fact that if there are different people, you speak in the language that everyone understands. And that it maybe it just comes from the fact that I've been through this experience. And I don't know if this is how reality has come to, but So all those people who have been, you know, ignorant and, you know, who have not had these experiences or have never acknowledged these experiences, do they really have to go through the process of feeling like they've been ostracized, feeling like people have discriminated them, for them to finally realize how the other person feels? Do we really have to go to that stage for us to realize this? And is communicating about this enough? That has been my, like, a debate in my head. Am I supposed to strongly voice this out? Or like, what am I supposed to do?
You know? I think what we should probably do is, at least for the government standpoint and, you know, the systemic issues, I think what we should do is we should try to find some organizations in Singapore that do support our Indian brothers and sisters there. So that, you know, like influencers like Preeti Please could get justice, or we could ensure that there is an equal punishment for both sides. Like, are there any organizations that you know that are probably handling something like this right now?
So why don't you tell me, why would we have an organization that brings light on a matter that most people are already getting shunned for?
That is a really good point. All right, guys, yeah. Here's what we are going to do. Think of it like this. Our Singaporean Indian brothers and sisters are like those other Indian kids we know who have extremely, extremely, extremely strict parents. Whereas our parents are strict, but they're not as strict. So what we got to do is we got to put pressure on these extremely strict parents, aka the government. No, you're saying, you're saying not to do it or to do it? But so what? All I'm going to say is I'm going to attach some links in the description of this podcast from whatever platform you're listening to it on, whether it's Spotify, Apple, Google. Honestly, I just upload it on like Anchor and it just takes it wherever. So whatever stream that you listen to it on, I'm going to attach some links. And I think it is important that we share it around and start putting pressure on the Singaporean government, because at that point, they will be forced to, you know, be more fair to our Indian brothers and sisters. That's what I think. I don't know about you.
Not just about Indian, right? So it's really about bringing light and justice to people who, you know, who have perpetuated negative stereotypes. It's exactly. About bringing light and acknowledging that there are certain things that they themselves have made mistakes on. We've had our ministers saying some racist stuff, by the way. We've That's had someone from the government say stuff like, oh, I went to Little India the other day and I couldn't see anything because everyone's dark.
That is a really shitty joke.
Yeah, no, it wasn't even a joke, but that's the thing, right? Like, it starts from acknowledging and, like, you know, really accepting the fact that there are lots of flaws and it's about fixing this one by one. And again, I continue to say this only because I genuinely am thankful. But at least here, you know, I know the bar is low. But if somebody disagrees with me or doesn't like me simply because of the color of my skin, at least I don't get shot, right? I mean, is that something to be proud of?
This is not about America. Okay, this is about Singapore.
I know, but I don't get shot, right? If somebody hates me. You know how much I was teased, by the way, for like my bindi when I was younger? It was quite funny, honestly. I mean, I laugh about it now, because I've grown to love myself for who I am and whatever it is that I wear. But at that time, I was so insecure about it.
Damn.
Yeah, it was bad.
I mean, yeah.
Maybe we can talk about this on Clubhouse. This is going on a full-blown rant.
I feel like just bindis alone is another episode. Because we got like white people who are like, yo, those look like target practices for when you shoot your head.
Oh my God.
I'm not kidding. That is a thing people say. Or it's like, those are target practices for terrorists.
Dude, I'm going to be scared if I were my baby in America. Then.
I mean, you can. No one's going to like say anything. I feel like it depends, for the most, unless you go to like a super red-necked part, no one's really going to say anything because.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, like, I mean, my, like, you know, my mom, it's like a joke my mom would hear when she was like, when she first came here. It was something that I also would hear occasionally.
Yeah. Because let's talk more about this on Clubhouse. I'll go on a full-blown rant on Clubhouse. Let's do that. But anyways, guys, Thank you so much for hearing. I think this has been, I hope this has been on some level eye-opening that, you know, racism is just about everywhere. And as NRIs, you know, we go through these things, you know, for us to realize like just how important it is to be on a track that allows us to be safe. And I think that's why we're really hardworking. We're really focused on our careers and we try to make sure we have our own properties eventually, you know?
I say, fuck that, stand up for yourselves. Make sure we all stick together and, you know, treat the racism that happens in one country like you would if it's happening in your own, and do whatever you can to stand up for it, whether it's calling it out, whether it's sharing it around. And yeah,
so, you know, Christian and I, we planned for him to be my angry translator, and I think he did a pretty good job at it. So thank you guys so much for hearing us out. If you want to know more about, you know, these issues, probably do a quick chat on your Clubhouse. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, I think we might do an Instagram Live or a Clubhouse room. We'll give you more posts. So for that, what I would recommend, if you guys haven't already, make sure you follow us on Instagram at 2Krishnas. Make sure you are following us there. That's where you will get updates for lives and other events, as well as whenever we drop new episodes. So yeah, make sure you follow us at 2Krishnas on Instagram. Again, thanks for watching. We'll see you guys in the next episode.
See y'all. Bye.